Bob Hope's theory was if you did 6 jokes a minute, one of them might actually land. And I like rapid fire jokes, and the late night jokes definitely don't disappoint. Stephen Colbert said, this weekend was the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, billed as the largest and most influential gathering of conservatives in the world. That's if you don't count their last gathering. Mug for the camera. Think about it, audience. That's a really good joke. Trevor Noah, I watched CPAC and WandaVision this weekend, and I'm not sure which characters are living in a more warped reality. Trevor, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem attacked Anthony Fauci, Representative Matt Gaetz attacked Mr. Potato Head, and the CEO of Goya Beans said Donald Trump is still the real, legitimate, and actual president of the United States. Now, he can get away with saying that because what are you going to do? Buy generic black beans? Colbert, the headliner of the weekend was the former president. His speech was pretty light on substance and energy, but there was one major revelation. He told the audience that he would not start a third party. Of course, he isn't going to start a new political party. He already owns one. Fallon, yeah, it was 90 minutes of rambling followed by Trump supporters storming Epcot. Corden, Trump said, did you miss me? Which is literally what every movie villain says when they come back. Fallon, as you would expect, the crowd to see Trump was very white. They basically made the Hollywood foreign press look like the cast of One Night in Miami. Great joke. And Colbert for the win. It was a murderer's row of people who were okay with Mike Pence being murdered. Late Night also joked about the Golden Globes. Jimmy Kimmel, the Golden Globes are the opposite of CPAC in every way. Except they don't have any black people on board. That's what they have in common. Otherwise, they're very different. Trevor Noah, you know you've got representation problems when the Proud Boys have more black members than you. Colbert, you can shop Jason Sudeikis's look by digging into the bottom of your hamper and then taking that edible you've been saving for an emergency. Taylor Swift, comedy item. Don't think I'm not going to jump over that for SEO purposes. From the AV Club, Taylor is upset about a joke. Here's the background. In her documentary Miss Americana on Netflix, Taylor Swift gave an intimate glimpse at many of the challenges she's faced throughout her career, from having the responsibilities of being one of the world's biggest pop stars while her mom was battling cancer to dealing with scrutiny from the press. So it took Taylor Swift by surprise when she found out that new Netflix show Ginny in Georgia includes a very outdated joke about her dating history. As you can imagine, Taylor Swift is not pleased. Taylor, I don't mean to upset you, but I do need to tell my audience what the joke was. And if you do mention me, please get it correct. It's Daily Comedy News, and remind people to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. In the scene, Ginny Miller and her mother, Georgia, argued about relationships. The mother asked if the daughter had broken up with her boyfriend. The daughter said, "What do you care? You go through men faster than Taylor Swift." Taylor's feelings aside, I think the real crime here is the terrible joke writing. Taylor Swift took to social media and said, "Hey, Ginny and Georgia, 2010 called and it wants its lazy, deeply sexist joke back. How about we stop degrading hardworking women by defining this horse shit as funny?" Capital first N in funny, capital Y in funny. So F, lowercase u, capital N, lowercase n, capital Y. Some teenagers can explain to me why we spelled it like that. She also directly called Netflix out for allowing this to happen after her Netflix documentary tackled why these jokes are harmful. Also at Netflix, after Miss Americana, this outfit doesn't look cute on you. Happy Women's History Month, I guess. Yikes, but how about British GQ basically blaming Netflix for the death of comedy? And they might have a point here. British GQ writes, last year, a sitcom called Space Force launched on Netflix and promptly came crashing right down to earth. It starred Steve Carell, and yet for all the talent on the show, the only thing we discovered was this. We all know in space no one can hear you scream, but it turns out no one can hear you laugh either. I see what you did there. It's almost not a sitcom at all. It's high concept plot driven. The series is dominated by a soapy storyline regarding Steve Carell's daughter. His wife is in jail. Episodes start exactly where the last ended, as if they're barely episodes at all. Put another way, it's the format itself, more a drama than a comedy and designed exclusively for Netflix's next episode countdown. That's making it unfunny. And worse, it's not alone. The inept space travelers trope was repeated last year by other networks, including Avenue 5 and Moonbase 8. British GQ says, as the Chicago Tribune put it in a headline, The Office is Netflix's most popular show, even though it was made for and originally aired on an old-school broadcast network. Oh, the irony. Panicked that it no longer had to make its viewers actually laugh, Netflix bought the rights to Seinfeld for an even more insane $500 million. That'll arrive this summer. Take that in, $500 million for Seinfeld, a sitcom that ended in 1998. What this tells us is that streaming services don't know their algorithms from their elbows. In their hands, sitcoms have become half-hour dramas with the occasional titter. Some examples, Love, Transparent, Master of None, Sex Education, Glow, all perfectly fine, but there remain more jokes in one episode of Parks and Rec, a show about the workings of local government. To paraphrase Charlton Heston at the end of Planet of the Apes, you maniacs, Netflix, you blew it up. God damn you all to hell. Yikes, that's strong there, British GQ. But then again, Netflix is airing that Kevin James NASCAR garbage, and they do make Adam Sandler movies. Are they responsible for the death of comedy? Yeah, probably. I don't think we need any more lowbrow drivel. What we need is highbrow drivel. Stay with me here. Wouldn't you like hilarious takes from serious experts? So here's a premise. Anthony Jeannot, he's a comic. He's got a podcast. Every week, he's joined by a new stand-up comedian and a new expert to discuss their field of expertise. So you got a comic, and a serious person. On Highbrow Drivel, they talk about the big topics, the brain, space, climate science. Oh, I'm in. I am so in on climate science. Sidebar, did you see the thing on CNN about how the ocean currents are going to slow down and Europe's going to freeze? You should read it, not while you're here for this show. Psychedelics and all the areas you're most likely to end up when you're drunk at the end of a party, just trying to figure it out. Highbrow Drivel is a podcast that's light, funny, and easily accessible to hear the latest from some serious mind-blowing experts. This week, they talked about billionaires, so you had a comedian on, Susie Steed, who happens to be a former economist and a comedian, fascinating, and MP Lloyd Russell Moyle. That's a name for a minister if I've ever heard one. Lloyd Russell Moyle. He went viral when he had the unfortunate experience of dealing with the feigned indignation of Emma Barnett when discussing billionaires. In the episode of Highbrow Drivel, they discuss whether you can be a good billionaire. Can I say yes? Maybe it's no. I should say no. Why we seem to be against greed in children or animals, but accept in adults. Just how big a billion is. What it takes to become a billionaire. Whether billionaires do more good than bad via investment and philanthropy. And of course, it wouldn't be an episode of Highbrow Drivel without discussing why Elon Musk is such a prick. Highbrow Drivel. Hilarious takes from serious experts wherever you get your podcasts. And they sponsor today's Daily Comedy News. Did you vote yet for comedy's top dog? This week's matchup, defending champion John Mulaney taking on Bert Kreischer. How do you vote? You go to the Instagram page. It's at Daily Comedy News. You'll find an image I made. It says top dog, and there's a picture of Bert Kreischer and John Mulaney. And then you write in the comments what you think. Five Yodi Ugly said, I had to think about this because I would like to see the two bears go head to head, but that's not what this is all about. The cabin was awful, and I haven't forgiven Bert Kreischer yet. Mulaney again is his vote. Also heard from Pinleope Slat, which my brain just wants to read as Penelope. Pinleope Slat commented, Bert Kreischer, and is following me. And if you follow and vote, I will follow you back. The teenagers tell me everybody likes to gather up Instagram followers, so follow Daily Comedy News, comment, I'll follow you back. Don't forget to vote at Daily Comedy News on Instagram. I'm whispering here. Can you guys tell my wife to stop doing the laundry when I'm recording the podcast? I get down to the basement for 10 minutes and she comes down and does the laundry. So I'm in a rant about, say, Sarah Cooper. You know Sarah, she pantomimes to Donald Trump videos on TikTok, and I hear dryers and washers and shit. It's 10 minutes. Can you not do that? Jim Gaffigan spoke to CBS. He said, my anniversary's coming up, and I still haven't got my wife anything. I know I'm horrible, but how do you celebrate a full year of living with the coronavirus? See what Jim did there? It's not his marriage anniversary. It's his coronavirus anniversary. Hilarious, Jim Gaffigan. I guess inviting friends for a party's not a good idea. Should I give my wife a mask? Sweatpants? Bleach? Oh, he shouldn't give her bleach. That would be bad. Jim says, can you believe we've all been living in a pandemic for a whole year? That's right. Only 12 months ago, we used to do strange things with friends like shake hands or hug or meet them for dinner without the fear of causing people to die. Just 1 year, it's amazing how time really doesn't fly by. It may have been a grueling 12 months, but I'd like to focus on the positives for a moment. This is where he left a gap in his text. Okay, enough of that. No, really, the last 12 months have been interesting. I'd be lying if I didn't admit I've learned a couple things. I've learned that cooking for my family on a nightly basis over the past year has resulted in me still not being a good cook. I discovered if I don't eat a huge block of cheese and drink half a bottle of bourbon at midnight, I won't wake up feeling horrible the next morning. I find that I have to keep discovering that lesson. I've discovered that getting online groceries delivered takes longer than actually shopping for groceries in person. He's right, it really does take a long time. I learned that using talk-to-text is the most efficient way to get on someone's nerves. And finally, most importantly, after spending just about every moment of every day for the past 12 months with my 5 children, I've learned that I no longer fear that Harry Chapin song, Cats in the Cradle. Happy anniversary, everybody. Thanks, Jim Gaffigan. From Variety. Put on your seatbelts. CBS has given out a pair of pilot orders to comedy projects from Mark Gross and Sarah Cooper. You know Sarah. She pantomimes to Donald Trump videos on TikTok and for some reason is now able to write a sitcom for CBS. Makes total sense. Variety tells us Sarah Cooper's untitled single camera project is inspired by her book, How to Be Successful Without Hurting Men's Feelings. It follows three women at different stages in their careers in a male-dominated company who help each other navigate modern gender politics in their professional and personal lives. Oh, I can see this sitcom already, right? We're going to have the smart, sassy woman who's got basically Ed Asner from the Mary Tyler Moore Show as her boss. Hilarity ensues. Cooper will serve as co-writer and executive producer, with Cindy Chupac also co-writing, executive producing, and showrunning. I did a Google for Cindy Chupac, and Wikipedia says she's a screenwriter and film director who has won 3 Golden Globes and 2 Emmys for her work as a writer, executive producer of Sex and the City, and writer, co-executive producer of Modern Family. That's some pretty good resume there, Cindy. Variety says, Cooper shot to fame on TikTok when her lip-sync impressions of President Donald Trump went viral. Her first video, How to Medical, has been viewed over 20 million times. She has since made appearances on The Ellen Show, The Tonight Show, as well as guest hosting Jimmy Kimmel Live. She was selected as one of Variety's 10 comics to watch for 2020. Her first Netflix special, Everything's Fine, was released in October. Hopefully you saw that special and you can decide for yourself if you enjoyed it or not. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do here and you'd like to buy me a coffee, go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. No, I didn't get the large ice today. Today I went for this is their new thing at the donut chain. It is a cold brew coffee with some sort of cream head and a chocolate stout flavor. And it's kind of expensive. So buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I'm not a millionaire here. And that's what I got today. It's not bad. A little pricey though. See you tomorrow.